very interesting. I didn't realize that Kelly was going to sing for us this morning, but the hymn that she sang was the hymn that we were going to sing just before Brother Bramhall spoke. So how about that? And you know, that's one of John Bramhall's favorite hymns, I happen to know. So, John, you're on deck.
I sure will be glad when I'm complete, spirit, soul, and body. I think of my dear mother. When we requested how she was feeling in her oldest days, she said, "I feel fine except my body." We knew what she meant. But oh, beloved, what a joy to know someday we shall be complete. Spirit and soul and body. At the coming again of our Lord Jesus. I'm sure I may not be very young, but I want to tell you one scripture that is on my heart every day, especially in these closing days of my life. And if I may say, the closing days of Christianity. The words of dear John at the end of the book of the Revelation, the last book in the Bible. And verse 20, when John closed the scriptures by praying, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." And how often we say, "Even so come today." But until then, what a joy to know while we're here, we have a blessed person to enjoy when we are saved. The person of our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But may I say before I read the scripture before me, words that the Lord Jesus spake concerning himself in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 27. I can never know what they mean. I shall never know. When he made this statement, and listen to the words carefully, "No man knoweth the Son but the Father." He was speaking of himself. And he evidently stated that not a person in the universe understands and knows me properly and perfectly but my Father. May I emphasize that fact? For by God's grace and by His Spirit, I want to turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 1. Reading only the first four verses. And if you have your Bible and care to follow the reading, you may. But I'm going to say very frankly, there are words in this little portion describing the person of the Son of God that only the Father could even tell. And they're beyond my own personal comprehension. Let me read them, beginning at verse 1. And note who is the writer. Don't forget the author of the book is God. Not man. Though it is true that holy men of old spake as they were moved and borne along by the Holy Ghost. The author of this wonderful book, the Bible, the Word of God, is God Himself. Pause with me to realize what we now read comes from God Himself. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, the Old Testament days, goes on to write, "He hath in these last days spoken unto us by or in the person of his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. May I repeat with emphasis and solemnly and emphatically, they are God's own words describing the glory and the greatness of his Son. Thank God he testifies to the fact in verse 1 that in ages past he spoke, and throughout all the Old Testament and even through the Gospels, God spoke by the prophets and his servants. But the day ended when God spoke in that manner. And as you have in verse 2, he hath in these last days spoken unto us by or in the person of his Son. May I give you the solemn but the precious truth? God's never going to speak like that again, as he has spoken by his Son. If I may paraphrase it, speaking by his Son whom he sent into the world, the Son is God's last voice of love and grace to the world. He's never going to speak again as he has already spoken through his Son. But listen very carefully. He describes 7 great glories belonging to his Son. May I repeat again with emphasis? I cannot help but take the word of God for it. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. One beloved servant of God wrote words something like this. There is that pertaining to the person of the Son of God which only God the Father knows. And all that anyone else can do is to bow in worship and adoration, making no attempt to penetrate what is undiscernible to human creature mind. Beloved, you are not God, and neither am I. We are but the creatures of his hand. But have you ever considered the greatness of the Son of God? As Paul wrote to Timothy Titus long ago, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Let me pause for a moment in worship. The one who is the subject of our scripture, the description by his Father, was none other than equal to God and very God himself. Let me but briefly cover the statements that God made as we read about them in verse 2. He hath in these last days spoken unto us by or in the person of his Son. Would to God the world would listen. God definitely declares he has spoken to the whole world in, through, by the person of his Son whom he sent to the earth. Consider who he is. Consider who he is and what he is and all that God says concerning him. What does he tell about his Son? What does he reveal about his Son? My beloved, let me say again, I repeat it. I cannot understand the depths of meaning of some of the words that follow. And especially if we read on, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Can I pause for a moment and emphasize? God in His Word goes to the eternal future. That the Son, is to be the future ruler of the universe. He is the appointed heir of all things. All things are going to be under His authority and His throne in an eternal day. You well know, if you're a believer, that there is one who is opposing the authority of the Lord Jesus in this world and over this world, and that one is Satan, the adversary, the devil, the tempter, the serpent. But the time is coming, the eternal day is coming. God said, my son's going to be your future ruler of the universe. No wonder the Spirit of God wrote through Paul that God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and so on. Yes, beloved, he's the future ruler of the universe. Let me pause for a moment. Every knee will bow to him. If you haven't done it now, you'll do it in eternity, whether you're saved or whether you're not saved. And then the second great glory. Read on. From the future ruler of the universe, he goes back and reveals him and declares him to be the one by whom also he made the world, the great creator. Beloved, did you ever stop to realize the one who died on the cross of Calvary to save your soul and mine was none other than the great creator of the world? Well, did the Apostle John write of him in John 1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Please, I don't know what you think of Jesus, but I want to tell you, He's your Creator. Begin, go to the third glory. And our blessed is, well, it's something I can't fathom. Note him saying in verse 3 at the beginning of it, who being the brightness of God's glory? Can you describe God's glory? Have you ever noticed in the scriptures, such as in the case of Isaiah the prophet, as he went into the temple and he saw the glory of God revealed to him in that temple sanctuary, and he fell upon his face and said, woe is me, for I am a sinful man, O God. I am a man of unclean lips. But that blessed Son of His love is the effulgence, the outshining of God's glory. Let me give you an illustration when he once manifested some of it. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, Matthew chapter 17, you have the great transfiguration scene. And as Peter declares in his second epistle, we beheld His glory, for the Son of God, the glory of the Godhead shone out in Him, in His face and in His countenance and in His body, as He was manifested in glory on that Mount of Transfiguration. But here God says, He's the brightness of my glory. My beloved, let me say this. When by the eye of faith you see the Lord Jesus as to who He is, don't forget, He possesses the brightness of God's glory. And may I be reminded with you that according to the prophecy of Scripture, when He comes back to the earth again, He's not coming as the babe in Bethlehem. He's coming in power and in great glory as the Son of Man. What a person. Who could fathom the greatness of His glory? But go further, please. not only the brightness of His glory, but the express image of His substance or character. What? We had a lovely old hymn in our worship meeting this morning that I hadn't heard for a long time. God is love, we sang. God is love. God is love. Every attribute, whether it's love, life, holiness, power, name what you will, every attribute and moral and eternal attribute that belongs to God, resident in His Son. The brightness of His glory and the express image of His character. My beloved, look. Please. Do you know any other person like that? Can the world find another person like that? Never. Oh, don't you wish the world would fall at the feet of the Lord Jesus? And if anyone here be present unsaved, I want to tell you, God speaking to your soul through the greatness and the glory of His beloved Son. But then follow on, please. Another great glory. Amazing. Upholding or holding up all things by the word of His power. What? Paul, writing to the Colossians, made the statement, by Him and through Him, all things hold together. My beloved, I'll tell you one thing. When the Lord Jesus lets go His hold on this world, it's going to pieces. Today, He holds all things by the word of His power. The whole creation. Well, let me go further to apply it. He holds you. You hold to Him. Your life. Your creation. Your strength. Your food. Your clothing. And all the blessings that you may have in life. What? No wonder the psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all, not some, forget not all His benefits toward me. Ah, my beloved, look. There's a verse in the book of Job. He stretcheth out the north, and He hangeth the earth. Speaking of God, He stretcheth out the north, the empty space over the north, and He hangeth the earth upon what? Nothing! Hangs pretty good, doesn't it? But who's holding the earth? He upholdeth all things by the word of His power. Can I humbly but sacredly mention the fact? When He was a babe in the manger of Bethlehem, He was holding up the universe. Upholding all things by the word of His power. Beloved, we have to confess again what the servant of God wrote. Great is the mystery of godliness. God, in the person of His Son, manifested in the flesh. But then, oh my beloved, I'm so glad I don't have to miss the next expression. I have more joy and liberty in speaking of the words that follow. They are more important than the rest to my soul, to my heart, to my being, and to my eternal welfare. The greatness of His person and the glory of His person is beyond my comprehension. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. But I can comprehend this. Please note the words. They're precious. When He had by Himself purged our sins. What? My beloved, you know the words the Lord Jesus spoke from the most familiar verse that you've ever heard. from the Word of God, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life, or everlasting life. My beloved, there's only one person who can save your precious soul and mine, of every man and woman. May I quote the words that Paul writes in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, when he declares about the Lord Jesus, as we know he is now, risen and ascended and glorified. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, God's eternal Son. He passed by the angels. And may I say in passing, I read of no redemption for fallen angels, but I read of redemption for every sinner, every man, woman, boy, and girl that has been born and will ever be born upon the earth. He passed by the angels and was made in the likeness of man, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death. For who? Every man. Can I say, it's for worship and adoration. He tasted death for every man. Let me be reminded with you. Was he worthy of that death? I read in the Word of God, all we like sheep have gone astray. Did he go astray in his life? Never. I read in the Word of God, all our sin and come short of the glory of God. Did he? Never. But he was the sinless one that took upon himself the penalty, the judgment of your sin, my sin. Pause just a moment, if you will. If your mind and heart can do it, conceive to some extent the glory, the greatness, the perfection of this blessed person, the Son of God. Oh, the joy of saying what the Apostle Paul did. When he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live after the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me. Who's me? It's not you, it's me. Say it to yourself. He loved me. And he gave himself for who? Me. Beloved, can you value? Can you tell me what is the value of that atoning death the Lord Jesus paid upon the cross of Calvary for your soul and for mine? Well, might we sing in the old hymn, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Have you been purified? The word can be translated. He made purification for sin. We think of the old hymn, we often sing, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. My beloved, please, humbly, sacredly, to your own soul, say the words. It was the eternal Son of God, the sinless one, who died for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Well, did the poet write the lovely words, and we appreciate it. Lifted up was he to die, as his finish was his cry. Now in heaven, exalted high. Hallelujah! What a Savior. There in shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. Seal my pardon by his blood. Hallelujah! What a Savior. And when he comes, the glorious King, all his ransom home to bring, then anew this song we'll sing. Hallelujah! What a Savior. My beloved, pause for a moment. I have read words that I cannot interpret about the great glories of the Son of God. But I can say this. He loved me, and he gave himself for me. Can you? Oh, the joy of saying. And note the words again. By himself. No other. He did it all alone. I don't know how many people have been born, are being born, and will yet be born before this world is over. But I want to say this, the Lord Jesus died for every one of them. And for every person in our audience, thank God he died for you. And you can say he loved me and he gave himself for me. And is it any wonder as you read the following old glory? When he had by himself purged our sin, what did he do? He sat down. Where? On the right hand of the majesty on high. Being made so much better than all the angels, for he's got an inheritance greater than they have, more excellent name than they. He sat down. Have you ever noticed in the reading of your Bible in the Old Testament? Can you prove to me that in the temple of old and in the tabernacle of old when Moses thus erected it, can you prove to me there was a place for the priest to sit down? There wasn't. You study your Bible in the temple of old and in the tabernacle of old. There was no place for the priest. His work was never done. It was never finished. But you remember on the cross, before our Lord expired, he cried with a loud voice, "It is finished!" And he gave up the ghost. And as Luke recalls it, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." The work was done. My beloved, there's nothing that you can do to save your soul. He did it all. There's nothing that I can do, and no one else can ever do for themselves. He did it all. And he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And may I go further? Before closing, remind you, he's coming back. Then when he comes back, he's not coming back as a Savior. He's coming back as a King and Lord of all. But beloved, look, what have you done with God's Son? What have you done with God's Son? Have you said, "Lord Jesus, I will trust thee with my soul"? Guilty, lost, helpless, thou canst make me whole. There is none in heaven nor on earth like thee. Thou hast died for sinners. Therefore, Lord, for me. Shall we pray? Beloved Father, we confess readily the impossibility of knowing perfectly, fully, the glories of thy dearly beloved Son. But you know them well. But again we go back to his own words. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God spared not His Son, but freely gave Him up for us all, wrote the servant of God. He gave His only begotten Son. That whoever, no matter who they are, whosoever, man, boy, girl, woman, believeth in Him, will never perish, but has eternal life. We thank Thee, Father. Father, please write upon our hearts and in our lives and on our consciences the greatness of Thy dearly beloved Son. And may we say, we love Him because He first loved us in His precious and worthy name. Amen. Our brother Alex has something to say.
Might sing 103. Son of God, 'twas love that made Thee die, our ruined souls to save. One oh five, two pages over.
Son of God, 'twas love that made Thee die, our ruined soul to save. 'Twas our sins that low that laid. Lord of life within the grave, for Thy glorious resurrection, show Thee conquer o'er the tomb. So the saints by Thy protection, through Thy work shall overcome. Thou to heaven hast now ascended, entering there by Thine own love. All Thy work of suffering ended, fully wrought the will of God. Lord, Thy glory bearing, for us pleading in Thy love, preparing in the Father's house above.
Fourth verse is the last.
Son of God, with joy we praise Thee on the Father's throne above. All Thy wondrous works display Thee, full of grace and full of love. Lord, accept our adoration, for our sins Thou once put slain. Through Thy blood we have redemption, soon shall share Thine endless
time. Our brother, Mr. Gladden, Ken Gladden, will